Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizoan Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Again, welcome everyone. Good to see you here tonight. It is truly my privilege to be sitting here and to share these words with you. So tonight I'm going to talk about Zazen, meditation, mindfulness, surprise, but how these practices help in revealing the forces that have shaped us, the stories that we live by, and how those stories that are revealed are not only the personal ones, but also apply to the wider society. So I'll start by talking about my mom. My mother has recently been diagnosed with late-stage Alzheimer's disease. And though much of her memory has dropped away, we are fortunate that she still knows and recognizes her loved ones and appreciates them and her life very dearly. And though it is surely heartbreaking to see these layers of herself being peeled away gradually, it is also beautiful to see a new kind of softness to her personality emerge, one that isn't tied as tightly to the stories of her life, but more to the heart, to the love that she still expresses and feels deeply for all those around her, to the ones she has nurtured and the ones that have nurtured her back and held dear. And though the day may come when she no longer recognizes me, I cherish for the moment the way that she lives in the now, without any pretense whatsoever, without any clinging to what used to be, as if she is becoming a child once again, with no separation between herself and the world around her. It is sometimes said by Buddhist teachers that the child gives birth to the parent. That is to say, our Buddha nature, pristine at birth, gradually takes on the weight of stories, opinions, beliefs, and persona. Through Zazen practice, we begin to see through these stories, to let them gradually fall away, revealing the unvarnished original self that exists in this moment, right here and now. And so, before we succumb to the ravages of age, if we are so lucky, and confront the indignities of disease, can we also begin to shed these layers of story, opinion, and expectation? Giving birth to these things, can we let them go? And thus return to our original nature, revealing right here and now. This is our aspiration, our sacred charge for all the many beings throughout the world, just as we recite in our liturgy. To let go of our stories, first we have to see them, step outside of them. And how do we do that, or how we do that, is through mindfulness practice. The Buddha taught four foundational mindfulness practices: mindfulness of body, breath, emotions, and perceptions or thoughts. So in our sitting practice, we can begin with mindfulness of the body, noting our physical perceptions or sense of the body from head to toe. We can take a moment to scan through the body, getting a sense of how and where we are, lingering long enough to get a sense of the state of our physical being. What are the touch points of body and breath? Physically, we can feel pressure changes in the muscles as we breathe, and the temperature of the air as our body warms it before exhaling. Some physical cues may trigger memories, spinning us out, where sensations such as ambient sounds can be reminders and have the ability to bring us back. So the task is to notice and, with careful attention, unify body and breath. Let the senses ground you rather than distract you. Let the scent of incense hold you in this precious moment. Let the subtle sounds around you swaddle you in presence. If small aches and pains present themselves in the body, observe their changing nature, their arising and falling away. Using mindfulness of the breath, together with the bodily sensations as our foundation, we can establish our presence in the current moment. Now, we know that body and breath also express together with emotion and thought processes in meditative awareness. We've spent years training in wanting more, better, and different. So we shouldn't be surprised when we notice that our efforts to still the mind are not immediately fruitful. But this noticing itself is some liberation. Thoughts speak, but we are not our thoughts. We just manifest thought as one of mind's activities. Mind itself is clear awareness without judgment, just listening. So we listen, we attend. Attending to the body and the breath, we also become aware of the churn of the mind's children, emotion and thought. Once we attain stability of body and breath, we begin to observe the workings of our thoughts, tangled with emotions, which seem to play in an uninterrupted flow, revealing and shaping our judgments, opinions, plans, and intentions. They color our views of the past, present, and future. We have to see this interplay at work in order to detach from it, to see it in perspective, to learn from it, to see what this potent brew is up to in our lives. And if we don't remain attentive, we can't see their effects on the body and what springs from them. As you sit, as thoughts try to pull you onto their carousel, step back and be alert to the spinning. Some teachers suggest we play with the emotions to learn where they take us. Taking a minute to recall a strong emotion like anger or jealousy, to see where they manifest in the body and how they may trigger memories and patterns of thought. All the time remaining in clear observing without getting lost in the waves. Their emotional effects in the physical body can be observed and felt and inform our path forward, out of the ruts we may have inadvertently followed for years. The Sanskrit word samsara actually means going around and around, literally, rolling through the same paths again and again, spawning and reinforcing habits of mind. To be free of these ruts, to clear the path before us, we must see these things clearly and step onto a more skillful path. What are the storylines that steal our focus away, that distract us from being in the present? Ask yourself the question, what kind of portrait are you painting in this moment? Each moment a brushstroke in your life. Are they haphazard or intentional? Are they opinionated narratives or expressions of wonder at the richness of this life? For many of us, emotional contents can be buried kind of deep, and we only become aware of them when the emotions are strong. But through seeing thoughts as they bubble up, we can reflect back to their source in our subtle emotions and motivations. We see that they are deeply entangled with thoughts and memories, and tied to fears and desires. These feelings are the catalysts to the stories we weave about ourselves, how we understand and define and protect ourselves. Why do we seem more clearly to remember our past traumas, our negative experiences, rather than our positive outcomes? Part of that is biological, hereditary. Our survival instinct is strong. The fact that our ancestors survived long enough to produce us is the outcome of strong evolutionary pressure to be wary. We react to threats and anything we consider to be a threat to both our physical bodies and our ego bodies, our self-image. And we can tell elaborate stories around those things as a way of understanding our lives and justifying our actions. Our stories are the moats we build around the castles of identity. Mindfully holding everything with a perspective of care, body, breath, emotions, and thoughts, you would think that just sitting means setting aside all concerns, holding them at bay. But no, Zazen is not some walled garden that we build. Being mindful means seeing all our concerns in perspective as part of the living flow of our being here and now, without judgment or opinion or worn-out stories. Mindfulness allows us to experience all of life with freshness. It is as if you were an alien probe sent down to the surface of the earth to explore life on this planet, without any preconceptions, to learn how this life works, how all the various beings interrelate and interact, how they feed each other, how they flow into and depend on each other, how they move and breathe, how they take their sustenance from and for each other. Only instead of landing on Earth, you touch down in your own human mind. So it's not a spiritual disappearing act, this mindfulness. With practice, we develop insight into the thinking and feeling processes. And like a good friend, we listen and accept without becoming entangled in these stories. When memories are triggered, we are not running away or pushing aside, but facing our experience with open curiosity and acceptance. There is a quote from Miyazumi Roshi that reminds us, "Have good trust in yourself, not in the one you think you should be, but in the one that you are." Have good trust in yourself, not in the one you think you should be, but in the one that you are. Mindfulness practices begin to reveal to us the tension in our backstories. Meditation teacher Galen Ferguson calls it seeing into our everyday sleepwalking state. We see how our thoughts and emotions or moods weave stories and have real impacts on our physical body and default outlook. There is a Zen parable of a meeting between a monk and a samurai you may have heard that applies here. The samurai and the monk, often attributed to Rinzai Zen master Hakuin Ikkaku. A proud samurai came to a Zen master and demanded, "Teach me about heaven and hell." The master looked at him and said, "Teach you? You are rude, dirty, and foolish. I could teach you nothing." The samurai flew into a rage, drew his sword, and raised it to kill the master. The master said quietly, "That is hell." Startled, the samurai saw his anger clearly. He lowered the sword, bowed, and became calm. The master said, "And that is heaven." Zen teacher Shozan Jack Hobner tells us that the practice of Zen is not for the so-called winners in our society. It is for those at the end of their rope, or maybe for those who are tired of all the winning. Take a look at what has brought you here. What personal challenges, tragedies, and frustrations in your life have brought you to seek some sort of freedom in Zen. Tiring of the small self and our old stories, with our practice we begin to see some relief in recognizing our struggles and those of others. And we begin to acknowledge our common humanity. A universal response to the question, why should I do Zazen, might be because I've exhausted the path of self. We may come to Zen thinking we can sit and develop a kind of focus that can banish all the disturbances in our minds, that we can shut out all the negativity and doubt in our lives. But Zen practice is anything but that. It is coming face to face with our immediate experience, watching it all arise and pass away. And we begin to develop a wider perspective, a dawning wisdom. But the process often ain't pretty, and yet it can't be avoided. So rather than be discouraged, we proceed with gentleness or loving kindness toward ourselves. Rather than filling our time with one distraction after another, we can learn to be with what this time, this moment, happens to offer us. And so we begin to write and incorporate new stories, like this one I'm sharing with you now. It's not a story of redemption. There is no final attainment of paradise or damnation. There's just this precious human life turning moment by moment, with the present inexorably becoming past, with now the only reality that can be touched. In all its glorious joys and pains, and like any work of art, its meaning ascribed by and through the stories we tell ourselves. Dharma teacher Sister Ando calls it this mask over the beauty of actuality. I have found that the longer I practice, the more open I am to respond rather than react, and the more interested I am in other people that I meet. A glimpse into their stories can reveal something in my own. It can be a long climb to emerge from your own shell of protective armor, to abandon old habits and habitats, the psychic shelters you found comfortable. But we can do it through great imagination, deep questioning, and the joyful effort of mindfulness. Our Roshi was fond of offering the common definitions of English words as the wisdom of Webster Buddha, or quoting a Rolling Stones song lyric and attributing it to Jagger Buddha. Well, in this tradition, allow me to share a lyric from Pete Townsend Buddha, as he tells a story of transformation in his song, Give Blood. The song's verse begins with a driving, almost menacing riff, demanding the sacrifice of your blood to unnamed others. And you're expected to do so without thanks, and perhaps at the cost of your dignity. But then the chorus turns the story around with triumphant resolve, repeatedly encouraging us to give love and keep blood between our brothers and sisters, to have compassion for all, but to avoid dissipating your energy on distractions or misguided pursuits, with love as the power that binds us to each other, that fosters the development of community that our world so sorely needs. It is our miraculous power and birthright, and it begins with this practice of natural wakefulness, of Zazen. Recognizing our patterns through this practice is the prerequisite to awakening, to transcending old stories and opening to new possibilities. Buddhist teacher David Loy says that all religions require us to accept a particular set of stories as reality, and that every system of belief can be measured by the consequences of living by those stories. Buddhism itself measures the value of stories by their ability to promote awakening. We create meaning throughout our lives by our living out of our stories. You could say that we are how the universe creates meaning. The truth of this story I'm sharing with you now is that we can story a better world together. That if we see the patterns or storylines that have brought us to this point, we can transcend the well-worn myths and soap operas that have held us back from giving and sharing our love with all beings. For society to change, we begin by challenging the stories that support it. Stories of the relative values of money, ownership, health, and equality, and who is privileged to wield them. We are not stagnant, but evolving forever between stories. So let's cultivate those stories that reflect an awakening perspective for the benefit of all.